When it first came out, I said, that's it. Because I had gone through the seminary, and I had the Greek language. And remember, I can't get up there and write it. Remember when Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, all those that come in late must pay a fine, especially if they are young and beautiful. I suppose you think now I'm going to charge you a fine, huh? No, you'll get off, but I'm going to charge you one because you were late. God spoke the world into existence. And I believe that all my life. I was taught that when I was a boy back up in churches and creeks up there, that you couldn't go into church when they had this. But when they come out with something new, like the Big Bang Theory and things like that, I just kind of go over them and say, oh, how about that? And in some ways, I can see how if those people know what they're talking about. And after all, what is the Word? The Logos is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and was not anything made without God. So when the Big Bang Theory came out, I just mentioned it, told you that I think that that could well be what happened, and that God spoke the world into existence. But it didn't bother to tell you. Well, I did. No sense stretching it. I did tell you that that's what I believed. Now, the reason that I'm telling you that is because I have for many, many years taken, you know, this church doesn't have much of an evangelistic program. And it's because of me. We're not very progressive. And we don't have much of an evangelistic program. And we don't have all kind of programs for children. And we didn't try to turn the church into a three-ring circus. And I'm not about to start now. Amen. So, in any case, when I first saw it, I said, I wonder what that word is that God used for himself when he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Period. Well, would you believe that the word power used there is a word that means this? Complete power. Complete power. Needing no help from outside. So, why did that impress me so much? God is a spirit. Says it over and over and over again. When we worship here like here tonight, we're worshiping the Spirit of God in truth. So God is a spirit. And you'll notice that when God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils, he became a living soul. But when Adam fell, next time God came himself. What do you mean? I mean, he came and all power in heaven and earth was in him. And there wasn't any help needed by anyone from outside what he is. That's what the word says. So I said, okay, now, how does that relate to what has happened with this Big Bang? Well, God formed time. God formed time. Now, God made man. And God gave old Einstein, I don't know where Einstein is now, but he made a very wise man out of Einstein, and I always appreciated Einstein because he always proved what he said. And so I began to look into it, and I said, that's it. Okay, first, God, Spirit God, formed time. There was no time before that. You say, what existed? I don't know. It's still expanding out there somewhere. But the truth is, God did it all by himself. He didn't need any help, and that's consistent throughout the entire Bible. So I had trouble in this church because of my teaching on that subject, and I didn't go into all that much detail. But it was God himself who said, let there be light. And all the power that caused that light was from outside God. Light is the darkness is the absence of light. So I said, okay, that sounds pretty good to me, but I just know God spoke it into existence. Now let's take a look. God created the physical world. God created the spiritual world. As a matter of fact, nothing was ever created that God didn't create. He created Lucifer. But God had to give all of us a choice because he's just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. I'm going to try to get over here and write a little plainer on this side if I can. I can't come up here and hold me up. Well, let's see. Lord, it's awful to get old.
Let me slide that up
first
before you got
it taken. Yeah. Let me get over here.
Let me pull it around and you get to slide.
No. I'll just do it this way. Equals M times, I'll do put a times in there, but when you work with algebra, you don't put the times in there. M times the speed of light, C squared. It's amazing how that works. It's absolutely amazing. That's what, to me, even when I was a teenager, I had already been taught when God spoke the word, it formed, just and God made it. But all I knew was that Jesus was my Savior, and he loved me, and he died for me. And I think God means that for us to not try and prove what he said is wrong, but to try and understand it in terms that people can understand. I've never met a scientist that could disprove this. And the only trouble I've ever had with was some preachers that thought it was too modernistic. All you got to believe is that when God said, let there be light, there was light. And when the Bible says God created heaven and earth, God did it all by himself. Now let's take a look at this energy. Let me put it this way. God is pure latent energy. I mean, he is pure latent energy. Notice I said the word pure latent energy. And so God has always existed. You say, well, what do you mean he's always existed? Well, he created time. Our time, as we know it, didn't even exist before God came along. And all the power was concentrated in God. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think God did. And God bothers me a lot when I start getting into stuff like this because I say, Lord, I don't want to goof this up. So I'm not trying to tell you this is straight proof. But what I am saying is just follow this through and see if what the Bible says isn't exactly what happened in that Big Bang. Before God has always been. And so God had to create time. And then he started working us into it. One preacher I knew taught me a lot out in seminary in Texas. I really liked him. He told me that God's Plan for Man, A.J. Kirtland. Wonderful book. And so I've learned a lot of things from a lot of preachers. Now, Robert, I have a lot of respect for him because I know the preachers that had him. He's mentioned them to me. Listen, those old boys were good friends of mine. And we were straight on the word. We never violated it. I want to rephrase that. If we ever did violate it, we'd admit it right away. So let's take a look at this because it's something. If somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I believe in the gap theory. You say, well, God said he created the heaven and the earth. And after all, isn't God a spirit? And so here's all this right here. This is energy. Here's time. Boom! In an instant. In a second. Boom! God exploded himself. God exploded all the power that was in him. No, I can't say that. God didn't have to get any power from the outside. I don't know how much power is in God, but I know I'm certainly scared of him. I know he won't kill me because he's very loving. Now, time created, and at this same time, boom, the whole universe started expanding. I had a teacher at Arkansas Tech. I liked him. His name was Dr. Wolfman. Lord, that's a good name for him. He believed in evolution, but we were good friends. I just spit back to him on the test. I said, now, I'm not believing any of this stuff you're teaching me here, but I said, I want to know what you believe because I've got to deal with other people and all kinds of people. And I said, I want to know what you believe. And he told me the most fantastic story I've ever heard in my life. And so I just sat there and talked to him for a long time. Finally, at the last of the course, because I didn't want to get an F or whatever they give over there, and I went up to him, and we were good friends, and I said, do you remember that little layer you kept talking about right at when the Cambrian period came in? See, the Cambrian period is solid rock. Solid rock. Solid, solid, solid rock. And then all of a sudden, there's a little layer in there. It's about, would have been about the size of this building, the top of it. And there are jillions of different life forms that immediately appear out of nowhere. They go all over the earth. I said, where did they come from? He said, Mike, I'm going to have to work on that. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that's when God began the recreation of an original creation before it. And I have always been a proponent of the gap theory. I was taught that when I was a boy, I've kept my mouth shut for a long time. But there's another one I'm going to talk about, but not tonight. Now, so you got time beginning. Okay. What happens in time? Well, it really doesn't matter all that much because what is this M here? It's mass. What's this made out of? What's this made out of?
What's that?
What's this made out of? Listen, who do you could? My brother almost jumped on me, and if Mom hadn't jumped on me, I'd killed him. No, I wouldn't have. He'd have killed me. But he's a Christadelphian, and I told him that God had power over every single atom, in the entire universe. Boy, he came at me like a. And I got out of the way just in time. He had become a Christadelphian while I was over in French Morocco, and I didn't know it. And pray for him. I pray for him all the time, and. Sometimes I say, Lord, if I shouldn't be praying for him, forgive me. But he is just sealed over. And I don't know. He's a typical Michael Murray. He's hard-headed as a mule. In any case, what happened? Well, God created a physical universe. But what did he create? A spiritual universe full of angels. So God created both a physical and a spiritual universe. What have we got right now? Right alongside us in this room, you've got angels. Hopefully, they're all God's angels. But if they aren't, I'm not worried. God can take care of all of them as well as his own angels can take care of those that give us trouble all the time. Now, this is mass times the speed of light. I call my little white dog White Lightning. Because, boy, he gets in there and works me over when it gets in the morning. He wants something to eat. But the truth is, there's a dual universe here. And when you go into the millennial reign, you're still going to have some of those bad guys living in people. The angels are going to be put in the bottomless pit with him. I can prove that in Isaiah. So here we'll be on the earth. We'll be the spiritual kingdom. But at the same time, we're going to have people running around in bodies of flesh that the Lord brought through the last part of the tribulation period. And they're going to have to start over a whole new thing over there, a whole new kingdom. But when you get down to the last one, speed of light squared. That's a spiritual kingdom. Why do you think in Corinthians, why do you think he says that there are going to be some that have bodies that are more glorious than others? Why does he tie that directly to the kind of conduct you've led? Listen, first there comes salvation, total and complete. And then comes conversion. And he told Peter, he said, Peter, you better get converted. And the rest of them he indicated needed to get converted. That's what we all need to do. But how many people, when they come to a church, don't want to hear the truth about themselves or anything else? What they want to do is just hear what they want to hear. That's why your brother's had a lot of trouble. He teaches the truth. That's why people didn't pay a whole lot of attention to your dad. If they'd have just listened, he could have blessed them. But they just thought, oh, he don't know. Your dad was one of the most intelligent men I've ever known. He was spiritual. There's a difference between a spiritual man and a man who is preaching, but is about as material as a frog. And so I believe that gap theory, but what am I going to do? I'm not going to fight over it. But at least I'm just not going to stay on the subject, because I got two men in here now that believe, and I didn't teach them that. I didn't teach Robert that. He was taught by better men than me. So we're going to just leave that at that and then go on. That's exactly right. And what did he say on the seventh trumpet rapture? He said, and time will be no more. He says it, and time shall be no more on the seventh trumpet rapture. And then you got all that tribulation period there after it. But we ain't going to be here. We're not going to be here. We'll get raptured out, and then the rest of those people that sat and listened to everything that preachers that were led of God tried to preach them, they're going to pay a price for it. I'm not saying I will enjoy it, seeing it. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm telling you, there'll be a lot of slips between the cup and the lip. The other one I'm going to talk about is Jesus descending into the lower part of the earth. But I'll get around to that when I got a little more time. But I'm going to start a series on Sunday about the trumpet feast, the tabernacle feast, and the other feasts that are associated with all those times God tells us to watch, 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 watch. And I'm going to show you that this thing is mighty, mighty close. Look, I know you get tired of listening to this stuff. They ran J.C. James off from the Missionary Baptist Church in Little Rock. Oh, they'll hear this. If anybody hears this, they'll deny it. But they ran him off because the people in the church were just getting tired of hearing nothing but prophecy. I knew that because he was a good friend of mine. And I tell you, people had better be careful. They better be careful. Because I tell you, there's been a lot of good preaching by a lot of old men that are dead. There's still some preaching going on by old men and young men that are alive. And it's not a Sunday school picnic to pastor one of our churches now. And the people are more interested in hearing what's wrong with everybody else except themselves. Now this is what they call the Sukkot Feast of Tabernacles Light. And it's if you'll notice in the Bible, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, both places, you will discover that the light, 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 light. Get you out of Strong's. See how many times that word light appears. Light, 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 light. And then at the same time, in the same different, same parables, it's saying, it says over and over again, watch, 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 watch. So, whether there's going to be a rapture at the end of the tribulation period, or at the on the seventh trumpet, it's open to discussion. It's open to, I don't count that out. But I'm telling you, whatever is going to occur, it's almost here. That's why I'm so glad to see you here. I like you. I like you. I mean, I actually like you. I just love you to death. I get such a joy in coming over here. And I know I'm not don't appear to be a preacher. I'm pretty joyous about different things. But I love every one of you. And so I enjoy what I'm doing. And I'm looking forward to being with you in heaven. And I think we will be together in heaven. And where we go and where we live, there's several rests in the Bible. And I'm also going to talk about them. Not just the ones that we've really hit hard as the ones that have been involving what you call conversion. Now, listen. When you get saved at that instant, wham! You get converted, sealed. Boom. But after that, God says, now grow up. He says, now grow up, grow up, grow up. He starts, start growing. Start. He said, take my yoke. And it's a double yoke. It's a zygos. And he says, get in my yoke. And he said, I'll do the pulling. Wait a minute. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Is that true? I believe it is. And so I finally learned to let him do most of the pulling. I pray all the time about different things. But I just tell the Lord in some cases, I don't know what to do. God always bails me out. God always keeps the church straight. God keeps right on loving you and pulling you along. Listen, you've got to put your neck in that yoke willingly. And then after you get in there and all of a sudden you say, Lordy mercy, what did I get myself into? And the answer is spiritual growth. Learning to watch and to not have great disappointment. Okay. The Sukkot Feast of Tabernacles Light is now making its December appearance. Now this is not the actual Feast of, it's not the Feast of Tabernacles. This is something that came in this weekend. And it'll be going on for 8 days. And it has to do with light, 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 light. And I'll be talking about that light because the Bible is just loaded with it. And how am I going to be enlightened after I get saved if I don't listen to what he has to say? He said, well, he's got a secret way. Baloney, he's got a book, he's got a Bible. And what I preach to others, I better apply to myself and ask him to help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Because if you think you could deliver yourself from temptation every time, you're a bigger fool than I am. He says, special prophecy update number 86D. Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles Light. The Jewish Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles, was described in prophecy updates 86A and 86B, which appear now in our archives. The feast is still in progress this week in Israel. Now, it's the feast of, this is the feast of the Sukkot feast. Tabernacle, that comes around, and it can be in as early as September or as late as October. In these previous updates, we covered its connection with the first and second advents of Christ and with some scriptures he uttered during his observation during the time of his earthly ministry. The feast also pictured spiritual light going out from the temple courtyard into the world. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It actually pictures light going out of Jerusalem, and they were able to see it all the way up to Nazareth. And it's beautiful. It's light, and it's spiritual light, and he makes it so plain, even anybody can figure it out. He says, with some scriptures he uttered during his observance during the time of his earthly ministry. The feast also pictured spiritual light going from the temple courtyard into the world. It also indicated it going out of the belly of the temple, out into Kidron Brook. And guess who walked up that brook And it is stated he walked up that brook before he was crucified. The events from John 7 to 9:41 occurred during the Feast of Tabernacles. In update number 86b, we covered the picture represented in the feast by water going down from under the belly of the temple as representing the word of the Spirit going out to a spiritually dead world. Listen, I'm not spiritualizing here. I'm going to prove every bit of this before I'm finished. This is something I've studied all my life, and it's the reason I'm still here. You're nice people, and I love you, and you're one of the reasons I stayed here too. But the truth is, listen, I'm not going to bail out on this man. Oh, Lord, forgive me. There I go. See? Just like Peter, I say, oh, no, no, no. I'm going to keep running to Jesus and asking for forgiveness every time I'm tempted, and God's going to bail me out, and I'm going to keep all going, and by the grace of God, I'll still be on my feet or in a casket, one or the other. He says, in this update, the word of the Lord is going to a spiritually dead world. We will construct a light ceremony of the feast with the ministry of Christ as it represents the light of God going out into a world of spiritual darkness. It did then too. There was God standing on the Temple Mount. And the light of the world was in one of these feasts he attended down there. Was lighting up all the way up to Nazareth, clean on up there. And what he was preaching was going out as living waters. And when they offered the sacrifices as he preached them, his blood, not his blood, but the blood sacrifices were going down underneath that and went straight on out to the Kidron Valley and eventually down into the Jordan River. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, I love what God did. He pictured it for us. You know why? We needed that. You know, he made us study to understand something. And all of most of the preachers that tried to do that when God called them, that he called them to do that. But now they won't let them preach. They don't want them. They don't want that kind of preacher. They don't want somebody that will tell them that they need to change. That they need to, if they would just do what God said and give in, the actual testimony and witness of a person is what comes out of the person. And what they see come out of the person. There are many deceivers that are that go into the world, and they're there, and they're real. And they're a lot more likable and lovable and kinder than I am. He says, as representing the word of the Spirit going to a spiritually dead world. We will connect the light feast with the ministry of Christ as it represents the light of God going out into the world of a spiritual darkness. The event contained in the following scriptures occurred during the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen to what he said. John 9, 5 through 7. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. You say, well, that was just figurative. Yeah, he's a spirit. God is spirit. And his words were spirit. And it went out to the whole world. And it's still going out to the whole world. And even here tonight in this assembly, right here. Do we look like kings and terrain? Do we look like spiritual giants? Those disciples were a rough cut bunch. And they were his disciples. And if you'd seen Jesus walking up there and probably had a bath in 2 days, I don't think they'd have thought much of his smell either. Spirituality is a lot more than looking good. The Pharisees believe that. And we've got, our churches are loaded with Pharisees. And they run the churches, and many of them are deacons. And that's why when your husband came over here, I was so happy because I finally had a deacon over here that I really loved and respected. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do now? And then he sent Robert over here. And two in a row ain't bad. It ain't bad at all. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. He was sent. He was sent. God performed all these miracles so the world could see these belong to me. That age has passed. I'm not saying God doesn't perform miracles. I'm saying that this church has prayed many times as other churches have and asked God to spare someone's life, and God has graciously spared it. But God's Spirit answers spiritual prayers from inside the heart. And so this thing of making a church great because it has so many miracle workers in it. We only need one. His name's Jesus. And we talk to him and ask him. And if God, if he decides, no, I'm going to take him now. We don't get in here and say, oh, look at that poor man. We don't do that. At least I hope we don't do that. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called, elect according to his purpose. He says, and came seeing. God gave him something to do. He healed his eyes. But God gave him something to do. Do you know I didn't understand baptism until after I got baptized? And I waited until I was 23 years old before I got baptized. I was saved when I was 12. And all of a sudden, the book opened up to me. First, it's eternal salvation and sealing of the soul. And the next thing that happens is you finally give in. And you go and you're baptized because it's been bugging you for all those years. And then lo and behold, you say, well, looky here. And it was God who did that. And if you ever get in church and start serving after you've been baptized and you try to put that first in your heart and in your life, it's not easy. But I guarantee you that's not a sacrament. That's an ordinance. Baptism is not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. It tests your obedience. It tests whether you love God or not. It tests whether he's real or not. If you ever get the feeling like, well, I love God enough, you never will. But one day it'll happen. He says, he went his way and came seeing. Jesus sent the blind man to the same place. The spiritual priest of update 84a went to collect the water that spiritually that eventually went out from the belly of the temple from a spiritually blind world. It ran underneath the temple. You couldn't see it. But it ran down a thing that's been caused. You say, how do you know that? Been there. Been there. Talked to rabbis all over the place down there. Talked to some of the leading rabbis while I was over there at times. Physically blind world. The water pictured the cleansing word of the Holy Spirit who dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You ever get out of fellowship with God? Sure you have. Will you get out of fellowship with him again? Sure you will. What's your scriptures to use to get back in fellowship? If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These preachers that Robert said under, I admired them. I was a big blowhard when I came out here. I wanted to impress everybody with how much I knew. Not only did I have a fabulous missionary background, but I was a graduate of the Missionary Baptist Seminary. Well, I didn't feel exactly that way, but I'm trying to make a point. And the truth is, man, the church is where preachers ought to learn. We really don't need seminaries to teach preachers. And what happened back in the evangelical age, when John Wesley came out of the Church of England, and whenever right after that you had I can't think of the name of it, but you had two movements there. And you know what you see on television now? Ever watch Roger Popoff? Yes, he said, this woman right here, look at this letter. She sent in $245, and then she received a check for $2 million. Ah! You got people on there believing that. And they jump around and sing and shout and holler. That's ungodly. And I'm getting old now. They might as well kill me anyway because that's wrong. And I love, there are two women in the Bible I love a great deal. And one of them is Mary of Bethany. And the other is Mary herself. I don't worship them, but Mary, it says, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. You show me a woman that has a good husband in a missionary Baptist church, or she may have a rotten one, you can't ever tell, but I've never known a rotten husband in here that since I've been here. I've seen some that came and tried to get saved so their wife would take them back, but that's no reason to come to get saved. So I've seen a lot of different things, but if you have a woman that ponders those things in her heart, you know what happens? She comes to conclusions. And she says, aha. And she's pondering that. And then she comes to conclusions. And you see a woman like Anna Mae Seals. You see a woman like Cooney. You see a woman like, look, I could go ahead and point every one of you. I don't even know some of you so well. But I know, after 40 years at this church, I know. And when you ponder something in your heart, eventually you figure it out because you're interested in it. So blessed art thou among women, to the Virgin Mary, I say. But she did not want to be worshipped, and it's ungodly to worship a statue of her and try to think that she's got some insight with God that Jesus Christ doesn't have. And listen, it's just awful. And we're sitting here, and we know all this is true, and I'm preaching the same thing to you again that you heard in every Missionary Baptist church. You heard it from every Missionary Baptist church. Nobody's paying much attention. He says, not by works of righteousness, but which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, to which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. John 6:62-63. I've seen people go over there to Jerusalem. Now, I've taken groups over there. And they'd say, oh, I feel so much closer to Jesus over here. you know what they said to the... What those angels told them, he said, he is not here, he is risen. And they go over there and they go to those holy sites and they show them where Jesus' foot sat down. Might have been a muddy something that got compressed in geologically. I don't know. But all this stuff. And where Jesus walked is buried underneath the ground. They just come up with some steps over there that they can say Jesus walked on them. But they haven't been able to put any footprints in there. They'd be luckier coming up with the Loch Ness Monster. It is the spirit that quicketh. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's true. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want to have a personal conversation with Jesus? Start reading his word. And if you don't understand what he says, ask one of the preachers in the church. Ask a deacon in the church. Any one of these preachers here, Missionary Baptist preachers, they can help you just as well as I can or better. And so ask somebody about it. If you're not interested, then keep coming until maybe one day you'll luck out. Not luck out, but maybe one day you'll get to do it. John 15:3. Now ye are clear through the word. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He was washing their feet. And Peter said, you shall not wash my feet. Whoa! And Jesus said, Peter, if I do not wash your feet, I can have no part with you. Peter said, wash me all over. Here's the point. Whatever God says to do, do it. And he'll bless you for it. See, I didn't know that. Preachers were preaching so much hellfire and brimstone. I thank to God they did back then. That's what people needed. They'd be scared out of hell and into heaven. But now, they just don't listen anymore. They don't believe any of this stuff. And they're killing themselves. I don't feel accountable because I'm trying to do what God wants. And between God and I, we know I'm trying. And we know I fail. But I know Jesus does. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's exactly what's happening right now in this church. On a Wednesday night. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know why a lot of women see a change in their husbands? Because those wives love them. And I watch it. After 40 years here, I've been seeing that happen. And when I saw it happening, I said, thank you, Lord. Every time I'd see a change, I'd say, thank you, Lord. And I saw a lot of miraculous things happen in this church that didn't have anything to do with the laying on of hands. It had to do with the actions of a woman. Now, that's why I respect women so much. I sometimes think God called the worst breed to preach because they're the hardest headed and the most difficult to pastor, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 2 Corinthians 4:3-10. But if our gospel be hid, well, if the gospel's hid to you and you just don't want to believe it, then listen to what he says here. But if our gospel be hid, it is blind to them that are lost. Well, you know, Israel's lost, speaking in general terms, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I've watched people hang on to the back of church pews in my 40 years here and finally just give up and not come. For some reason, they just did not want to come down the aisle. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Do you know why I love him? Because he first loved me. He said that he loves us. We love him because he first loved us. When you receive him, you're going to get a blessing. Oh, you're going to get stomped on. You're going to have the enemy coming against you all the time. You'll have that. And you'll wonder if you're paranoid. No, you're just normal. And you're going through life in that way. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Anybody that's ever been a preacher in our work knows that's true. Yet not distressed. Brother Trusty never gave up. He never got distressed. There's a big difference between distressed and trouble on every side. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We don't quit. His two sons are still preaching. Persecuted. Both his sons have been persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. How many times have you been put down? I have. And I'm a very proud, haughty, or arrogant man. I used to be. And I could be again. But I didn't get destroyed, did I? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. I'm sorry if I embarrassed the Trusty family by praising their dad so much, but I tell you, he was a fantastic man. And he had the patience and the kindness. I realized when he whipped you, that wasn't all pleasant a thing. But the truth is, he raised kids like they should be raised. And his wife raised them like they should be raised. And that's really what's wrong in Missionary Baptist churches. The people started wanting to get preachers that tickled their ears, told them what they wanted to hear, made them feel good and go home. And then the kids ran wild. Grew up. Some of them are in hell now. Who are you going to blame for that? So I'm just proud for the people that are still coming to church and the preachers that are still teaching the truth. We preachers may not agree on everything, but I know one thing we agree on. We love Jesus because he first loved us. And Jay, you want to dismiss us?